preliminary results in a new research line we're developing. We started doing this while I was working at Columbia University, and now I moved to John Hopkins School of Medicine, where I'm continuing with this work. We're looking at epigenetic approaches in liver cancer epidemiology, and we already have analyzed global and gene-specific DNA methylation and done some histomodification work, and this is what I want to share with you today. Hepatocellular carcinoma is one of the most common malignancies in the world, with close to 600,000 new cases worldwide per year, and is one of the few cancers in the United States which has an increase in incidence. The age-adjusted incidence rates of the United States have doubled over the last 20 years. Hepatitis C, hepatitis B, and alcohol-related cirrhosis are the major known risk factors for HCC in the United States, while in other countries, hepatitis B and aflatoxin exposure are the highest or the major risk factors. The prognosis everywhere in the world is poor. And now there's a new potential risk factor for liver cancer that has been specifically for hepatocellular carcinoma that has been recognized in the United States, which is non-alcoholic fatty liver disease associated with obesity, diabetes, and metabolic syndrome. Combined between the viral risk factors and the alcohol-related cirrhosis and this non-alcoholic fatty liver disease risk factors, it is estimated that hepatocellular carcinoma will be one of the most challenging cancers in the United States in the next few decades. The estimated annual percentage change in hepatocellular carcinoma incidence by race and ethnicity in the United States between 1992 and 2002 shows that the largest increase has been observed among Hispanic women and followed by black males. This is just recently published data by El Serac and his group at MD Anderson. And Hispanics show the fastest rise in hepatocellular carcinoma incidence in the United States, both men and women, followed by non-Hispanic whites and then blacks. The highest rates, as well as most of the increase in the incidence of hepatocellular carcinoma, were seen in native rather than immigrant Hispanics. There's really not good screening tools for hepatocellular carcinoma anywhere, not even in the United States. Only approximately 28% of patients are screened for hepatocellular carcinoma within the 3 years before they receive their diagnosis, regardless of the risk factor or suspected main risk factor. So let me talk a little bit about epigenetics and why we think this could be a good alternative to develop a screening method for hepatocellular carcinoma and other solid tumors. Epigenetics refers to the inheritance of information based on gene expression levels without changes in DNA sequence, as opposed to genetics, which refers to information transmitted on the basis of gene sequence. DNA methylation is tissue-specific and can be quantified globally at gene promoter regions and at non-coding regions of the DNA. And DNA methylation is recognized as the most important epigenetic modification up to date that we know of. Some people are saying that we have entered the epigenomic era, which is the post-genomic era. Steve Balin from Hopkins is coined this term. He says the first era in the understanding of genetic and epigenetic factors came with the unraveling of the double helix structure. Then he said the second era came with the deciphering of the human genome. And now we are in the midst of transitioning from the third era to the fourth era, in which we are understanding how the effects of how the DNA wraps around what are known as nucleosomes, which together all become part of what we know we have seen for a long time, chromatin, and how these closed and open states of chromatin related to DNA methylation and microRNA expression is related to gene expression and then to disease. That's the next era that we're entering now. We now have the tools and the basic science research to understand how DNA methylation, histomodifications, which are the ones responsible for changing from an open chromatin structure to a closed chromatin structure, and microRNA silencing, which also is related to the expression, to gene expression, how all these changes, which are constantly occurring in our body, translate into disease under different genetic susceptibilities and environmental exposures. That's the next threshold. That's the fourth era, and that's the epigenomic era, according to Steve Bailey. So, in hepatocarcinogenesis, we already know that DNA hypomethylation, which is a decrease in methylation levels across the genome, is a tissue-specific event, and it's an early epigenetic event, both in human and experimental hepatocarcinogenesis, in the transition from a normal to a transformed cell, is by some people understanding as the first epigenetic event that can be observed as you transform the cell. And the genetic and epigenetic alterations following global DNA hypomethylation in non-coding regions have been shown to play a significant role in animal models of hepatocarcinogenesis. For most of what we have heard and read about and studied in the past 20 years in genetics, has been related to the areas of the genes that code for proteins. But now we're understanding that the areas that do not code for proteins are very important and maybe are more important at early stages. That's nice music. Than the gene expression silencing that occurs in cancer. Therefore, global DNA methylation levels could be used as a screening biomarker for early detection of cancer because this sudden decrease in DNA methylation, which is observed in all types of cancer and is an early epigenetic effect, can be a molecular marker for cancer before any pathological or histological evidence shows up in the tissues that we're observing. So this is a conceptual model of what we believe is what's happening. This is an external environment which can be understood as external environment to the body or external environment to the cell. And under all sorts of different exogenous factors, we believe that there's a signal that goes directly to the histones, which are the ones that control the open and closed conformation of the DNA and directly control gene expression. And under some conditions that we still do not understand, all of a sudden, there's a global hypomethylation that happens in the transformed cell that leads then to an oncogenic process. And this is perhaps the first molecular change in the transformation from a normal cell to a diseased cell, which might be the direct effect or might be modified through different conditions such as altered DNA methylation activity, defective DNA repair, and non-coding RNAs, and this leads to all sorts of downstream changes related to cancer already. We all know that. This is going back. Okay. So we have previously reported on the use of HPLC tandem mass spec to quantify global DNA methylation levels, and we found that a global DNA methylation level in pathologically confirmed tissues of cases and controls in a case control study, we could discern between cases and controls, and this was a statistically significant difference between the two. These were the chromatograms, and because I only have 1 minute, I'm not going to dwell on it, but what we're measuring is this relationship between methylated cytosines and cytosines in the body in both controls and cases. That's a decrease in cases, and this is mass spec results. So we have been able to distinguish between liver cancer cases and controls using a global DNA methylation assay. this is the new work that we're moving towards. This is HPLC chromatograms showing the difference between cases and controls. This is work that some of our associates have done on gene-specific methylation in blood. And we have already found some genes that are specifically hypermethylated in tissue, and we're moving towards genome-wide specific methylation to combine with the global and gene-specific methylation results. So this is my collaborators are in Spain, Columbia University, and Johns Hopkins. And thank you to all of them, and thank you to the sponsoring agencies. Thank you. The question. Right now we can use them. Well, we're trying to develop it as an early diagnosis tool, yes, but in order to become an accepted early diagnosis tool, it has to go through a whole regulatory approval process. The FDA regulates this type of tools. We hope not only liver cancer, we're also doing work, we're doing studies on oral cancer and breast cancer. We think that we can develop a tool for many solid tumors and some hematologic tumors. We're going to do that, but we want to do that in samples of blood, because in liver cancer, for example, because it's not feasible in the clinic to use this technique, especially in outpatient clinic, on tissue. So at the end, because I had to rush through it, but the pie charts were results that a colleague of ours, Regina Santella, Colombia, found in blood taken from hepatocellular carcinoma cases from Taiwan that were, the blood was drawn from 1 to 9 years before the cases were diagnosed. And then they did sensitivity and specificity analysis in those specific genes that were hypermethylated, which is different from hypomethylation. Hypermethylation is a downstream effect of hypomethylation. And they found 88% sensitivity and 68% specificity, with only three markers, and it was only a preliminary study. This is very preliminary data. But what we want to do now is to replicate their study in a sample from the United States in both plasma and serum. And we want to do both global hypomethylation and gene-specific hypermethylation, and then perform ROC curve studies. Yes, that's the next step. That's a good question. This is not our study. This is published by El Serag and his group in MD Anderson. He's been publishing a lot in hepatocellular carcinoma epidemiology. And what he's reported is that is in the native Hispanics, the higher incidence, not in the immigrant Hispanics. This is, some people refer to it as the Latino paradox, because you can see that in many other diseases, not only in cancer. In other words, the immigrant Hispanics are healthier than the native Hispanics. And then that ties into another set of whole research in which it's shown that the risk patterns of immigrants, doesn't matter Hispanics, doesn't matter where they come from, they change after living here from 15 to 17 years in terms of cancer. They assume the risk patterns of the United States citizens when they are here for more than 15 to 17 years. And we think that epigenetics might be a useful marker for those changes too.